Thank you for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
I just thank you, God, for this opportunity to be with these men and women, young and old, that are here, and that you have an eternal plan. You have something much bigger going on. And so, Lord, I ask that you would enlighten us today. Maybe for someone that's just here visiting, that today their eyes would be open, their spirit man, spirit woman would be open to your divine plan and what you're about to ready to do. So, Lord, I thank you. I ask, Holy Spirit, to have your way with me today as you use me to speak and encourage. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all of God's children said with a loud voice, there we go. I want you to turn to your Bibles, and hopefully, I want to encourage you to bring your Bibles and bring pen and paper or iPad or whatever you need to to really go through the Word and just whatever nuggets come, write them down. And you might get a lot of mileage sometimes out of just one phrase that will speak to your heart and speak to your life. But let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to start with this verse, and then I'm going to end up on this verse. I'm going to go a different direction after I read this verse, but we're going to come back to it. And I believe the Lord really wants to speak to us concerning His Word. Let's start with verse 6. I kept changing. Let's start with verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7. But we have this treasure, each and every one of you, if you've accepted Jesus into your heart, you have this treasure. And that treasure is the Spirit of the living God living in us to empower our hearts to love and to walk out whatever ministry we have, because we're all called to some sort of ministry. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. That we're not doing our thing, but we're allowing the Holy Spirit to do what He's called us to do. Verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. And I'm going to break those verses down in just a little bit. But I encourage you, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, that's where that spirit, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. It brings liberty and freedom where it is. God is trying to get our attention more than ever before, that we would walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh, that we would not walk by our carnal mind, that we would have an understanding of eternity, an understanding of His Word, so that we have hope in the midst of no matter what situation we're in, that God's hope arises within us. Because why? Because we know the truth about eternity, and the mystery has been revealed to us through the Holy Spirit that renews our minds with truth. We have an opportunity to grab hold of it. Yesterday, when it was raining, I just felt the Lord said, go by the creek and pace and pray. And I did, and I stayed down there because I just felt things pressing. And as I did, the Holy Spirit began to just seem to flood my spirit, my soul, and strengthen me. And soon as I came out of that, the Lord directed me to the message that I was to share with you today. But it was because I drew away and I wanted Him to ignite inside of me His heart for many of you and all of us. We're going to look at those four things that seem to perplex us in the Scripture in just a moment. But I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. This is this mystery that I'm going to talk about today. It says, having made known to us the mystery or the hidden plan of God, of His will, that He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on our earth in Him. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. Having made known to us the mystery, hidden plan of His will, that He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. And last week I spoke about this great reunion that's going to happen from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That not only will we behold Jesus, but all those that went ahead of us will come with Him. The centerpiece of God's eternal purpose is that Jesus is coming back to establish His kingdom. That's at the centerpiece of all things on this earth. And He joins the heavenly realm and the earthly realm together forever. God's purpose has always been that His people, every one of us, all across the earth, would live together with Him. That's God's purpose, that we would live together with Him. That's our hope. Revelations 21:3, it says, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men and women, and He will dwell with them. If we have a wrong philosophy of heaven and a wrong philosophy of earth, then the hope can be diminished within us. If we say, what good is this earth? Well, I'll tell you what good it is. He made the heavens and the earth, and He's coming back to restore the earth back to its original purpose. And that's the hope we have in Christ. That's the hope that you have today and I have today. If we do not think rightly of heaven on earth, we end up not thinking about heaven at all or the hope that is coming. Believers, each and every one of you will be given a resurrected body. Every one of you. There's so much hope in that. A resurrected body. 1 Corinthians 15, 52 through 57, it speaks about this. It says, the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. Death is swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, to be absent from our body and to be present with the Lord. I'm going to say a lot of things today that you're going to need to challenge and look up and read the Word. And I want you to challenge everything that's spoken from up here. Seek out the truth. And then come, let us reason about the things of the Lord together. The resurrection is the transforming of our body that died. Rather than creating a new body, God raises our body. And it has a unique personality. It's not just something completely different. It has our personality. And God desires to bring this body into the fullness of perfection with Him. And that's the hope we have of eternity. We will live in a material, listen to me, we will live in a material resurrected body on a material earth with supernatural abilities of the resurrection. We will eat food and we will drink. We will not have all knowledge, but we will continually learn in this thousand-year millennial reign being with the King of Glory. This is the hope that we have in the great reunion that's coming. I think we will work with a deep sense of partnership with God. But guess what? When we work, it's going to be without toil and it's going to be without frustration. It's going to be with Him. And I believe whatever relationships that we don't have here now that have been cut short or the loss of a loved one. I believe that that relationship will grow for all eternity because it's God's mystery and His plan that's available to all of us. In Philippians 3:21, it says, He will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body. That's what the scripture says. God will give us a body that will be conformed to Jesus' own resurrected body. It's going to be His custom design. We'll still have our personality. These are truths in the Word. It says Jesus' resurrected body was full of light, that it was brighter than the sun. There's so many scriptures. His robes are radiant with light, it says in the Psalms and in Revelation. In Matthew 17:2, it says, He was transfigured before them, and His face shone like the sun. It illuminated like the sun. Luke 24:13-31, it says, Their eyes, when they beheld Him, their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know Him for a moment. Their eyes were open, and they knew Him, and He vanished from their sight. This was His resurrected body. Jesus' resurrected body has supernatural flesh. And I believe that will be also for you, with bones that had a capacity, supernatural flesh and bones that had a capacity to eat food and drink. We don't talk about this a lot, but I want you to bring your attention to the scripture. And you can look at Luke chapter 24 and read through it and see amazing things in there. Luke 24:38-43 says this, Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, he's saying to his disciples. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones. He said to them, and then he said, Have you any, y'all got any food here? I love that. So they gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took it and he ate it in their presence. He can live with it or without it. He says in Luke 22:16-30, he says, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom. I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom comes. You may eat and drink in my kingdom. So he was telling them, he was preparing them. It's this mystery. There's all these scriptures. And then John added details to this event that was taking place in the resurrection. It's found in John chapter 20:26-27. John added this. The doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, Peace be with you. He showed them his hands and his side. After 8 days, Jesus came and the doors were shut and stood in the midst. And he said to Thomas, you guys know the story, reach in here and touch my side. In Acts chapter 1 verse 3, for 40 days it says that Jesus kept appearing to them in this resurrected body. He presented himself alive after his suffering, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Wow. So this same resurrected body and the things he was able to do is going to be presented to you the day of resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:41-42 says, For one star differs from another star in glory, so also is the resurrection of the dead. We're all going to be different in the glory of God, but we're all going to be resurrected. Isn't that amazing? I mean, when you think about it, resurrected believers, this is the hope that we have in the gospel. Resurrected believers will be filled with God's light and glory. And they will be perfected in His beauty in the days ahead. Daniel 12:3 says, The wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, like stars forever. Matthew 13:43 says, The righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. you and I are going to shine like the sun in our glorified bodies. This is the hope we have. You think there's hope in this world? You really think that everything that's being thrown at us as things are passing away, that we would be a people that would find hope in the things of the world? We find hope in the Word of God and our future that we're going to have with Him. So we live for Him this day and the days to come. We repent when we need to repent. And He makes things right. And He says, get back on with plan A, because plan A is plan A. It's not plan B or plan C. He calls you to walk this thing out for His glory, for your rewards. And to allow the world to sneak in and deceive us and press us and try to break us down and destroy us. To God, He laughs at that. It says, why do the nations rage against the anointed one, Jesus? Why? Because He is the truth. He is the way. And He has a divine hidden plan that He reveals to His saints when they seek Him first. And that's you. That's me. I've had anxiety. I've had fear. I've had worry. I've been in a place of absolutely feeling like no hope. And then God arrives and He speaks to my spirit, man. And He helps me another day, another month. Why? How can He help me? Because I live not for this day, but I live for a future day that I will have with all my loved ones and with God for all eternity. That's who we are. That's our hope. The enemy wants to just rock you to sleep. Why is it that we get saved and we're so on fire for God, and then there's a grin as we come into the church saying it won't be long, they'll settle down? Why do we have to settle down? We should not settle down. We should continually just get excited and do everything we can to proclaim the goodness of God, because people are going to hell. Don't speak about hell. They won't come back. Don't speak about sin. Don't speak about judgment. God's trying to open up our eyes to all that He has for us. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Thank you, Lord. The Apostle Paul is amazing. All the things that he went through. So now let's get to the scripture. And let's walk through it. As we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul declared that the power of God works inside each and every one of us. That's what he was declaring. That you have the Holy Spirit living in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living inside of you. You have great authority. He's wanting you to walk in it. Then he describes in this chapter four pressures found in verses 8 and 9. And these pressures work in us and against us. But if we respond rightly to them, it can bring about even a greater blessing in our life, because God's intention is always to do that, no matter what the trial, no matter what the heartache. The treasure, as I said earlier, is the Spirit living in us to empower our hearts in love. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed. There's one. On every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed. There's two. But not in despair. We are persecuted. There's three. But not forsaken. We are struck down. But not destroyed. The life of Jesus speaks of His presence touching our heart. 2 Corinthians 4, 10 and 12 says, carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body, that death is working in us, to bring us into this place, that we would die to ourselves. Matthew 16, 24 through 25, a well-known verse. If anyone desires to come after me, Jesus says, let him or her deny themselves, take up their cross. And basically, take up their cross means dying to your fleshy ways and follow him. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I wanted to define these four things as going to kind of wrap it up with these last four things. And I wanted to define what a paradox is. What is a paradox? You know, a paradox is something extremely almost different. You know, if I want to live, I got to die in the things of God. It's the upside down kingdom. If I want to gain, I got to give. But a paradox, what it means is this. It's a statement that seems almost to self-contradict itself. It almost seems absurd, but in reality, it expresses a truth. In reality, it expresses a truth. So here are four paradoxes for you. Number one, it deals with 2 Corinthians 4, 8, 9. We are hard-pressed on every side, but yet not crushed. Circumstances can mess with our emotions, can pressure our emotions, and we can get pressure from every direction. For instance, finances. We feel pressure, hard pressed, sickness, broken relationships, accidents, failures in sin. We begin to feel shame more than anything. And so what do we do? What does shame cause you to do? It causes you to hide and back off. So the enemy wants us to feel this crushing around us so that we will give up. And we will resolve in our minds that we will no longer pursue Jesus and the fullness of his kingdom. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Paradox number two, we are perplexed, but we are not in despair. This is the Apostle Paul who's went through so much. This speaks of circumstances that perplex us, causing us pressure in the area of understanding. Why? Why, God? Why, God? Why did this have to happen? Why? Why, God? And in the midst of that, you can grow hopeless, being unable to connect with the Lord, being unable to produce anything in Christ. But the key always, in the midst of being perplexed, is to find your confidence back in the place of the virtue that is found in intimacy with Jesus and knowing him. That the Father hides many details from us about how he's going to bring deliverance to our problems and our heartache. But if we trust him, he will bring us to that place of understanding. I want to develop these more and more as the days go on, but let's look at paradox three. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Persecution is pressure from other people about our walk. When we start standing for truth, all of a sudden it gets resisted within the family or within the people we work with, our peers. Many times it even comes from within the church. We start getting persecuted within the church for what we're trying to do because God's called us to something. The enemy lies to us. And even when sometimes men and women's favor leave you, you think, woe is me. But you shouldn't be worried about men and women's favor leaving you. The favor of God is what we live in and what we move in and what we trust in. You don't want to lose the favor of the Lord. And so in these times of persecution, in these times of heartache, the enemy tries to think, oh, you have really blown it. you have really made a mistake. Now, I know that I'm the only one that has experienced this in this room, right? Come on, you guys, you know the enemy's trying to silence you and stop you by having people speak things about you. If you are where you need to be in the spirit, no matter what is said against you, and no matter what you hear in your ear, and you, again, are walking by the Spirit and not the flesh, you're living by the Spirit, then you say this: it's between them and God. If they choose to say that, it's between them and God. And you go on with your purpose. Is that not the Apostle Paul? Is that not our Lord and Savior? When men's favor is lifted from you, it doesn't mean God's favor is lifted from you. When people feel forsaken, don't lose sight of God's love, because He wants to love on you. Don't become fearful. And then the last paradox, number four. This is a biggie, because this is attacking our life purpose. We are struck down, but not destroyed. And this speaks of major, major setbacks in life that seem to destroy our life purpose. That are usually there's only a few of these through life, but they're hard. I've experienced some. And this type of suffering can come sometimes through the death of a loved one, struck down, but not destroyed. It can happen through a divorce. It can happen through abuse. It can happen through prison. It can happen through sickness. It can happen through a serious accident. It can happen through financial calamity. It can happen through a natural disaster where you lose everything. And the enemy is ready to speak to you and say that you have missed the purposes of God. Now, because of this happening to you, your primary purpose of God is destroyed. You'll never walk through this. You'll never get on the other side. And I have news today that Jesus will help you and be with you to get you to any other side that needs to be gotten to, because of His love, because of His word, and because He says, Father, in John 17, Father, I desire them. Let them be where I am. And that also is to each and every one of you. Now, I know that it's really hard, and we wonder why that little Ethan is gone. It was hard a few weeks ago doing my sister's funeral in Tennessee. But I want to say this. Last Sunday, I had the privilege of being able to pray for him and pray for his mom, Melissa. And we have the privilege to intercede on their behalf. And through their grieving and through their loss and through the pain for all the family members, that we would pray that their eyes would be able to see our beloved Jesus. And what I know about eternity and what I know about the resurrection, I have hope to know that there is a great reunion that's going to take place. And that whether they're young or old doesn't matter. You know, we're all going to be in this supernatural glorified body with Christ someday, living for all eternity. And everything that could have been will be because of Jesus and His love for us and His plan. You see, there's a hidden plan. It's a mystery. And that's why the Word is so important, to have it a part of your life every day, so that you know the times in which you're living, the love that is available to you and to me because of Jesus. Second Corinthians 4, 14 through 17 says this: knowing that He who raised up the Lord Jesus will raise us up. Though our outward man and woman is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Our light affliction is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Lord, give us revelation on that scripture. So the hope that we have is that we'll all be together. For some reason, this is me, so don't say, oh, this is what Pastor Bob is. I can't find this biblically, but this is just me. I think we'll all be the age of 33. I don't know. I like that 33, especially at 58. I like that 33. Whew. And whatever flaws I have, they're not going to be there. So even if, you know, even children that are aborted, they'll be there in full personality and fullness of who they are. And you're thinking, and you say, I thought I missed so much. Because we will know each other and we will grow in relationship for all eternity. This is the hidden plan, the mystery that is found in Christ Jesus, the Word of God. So let's stand. Today, I want the pastoral team to be in full attention. And as we just sing for a moment, if you feel that you've been pressed, perplexed, that you have your hope being challenged today, if you just feel to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit to fulfill all that God has for you, as we pray the Word of God, I want you to come down to the front if you feel led. You don't have to. If you don't know Jesus, today is the day to know Him. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be touched by God, to make some decisions that you know that you need to make because the enemy's been lying to you to keep you away from the truth and walking in the fullness of it. There is so much available to us as men and women of God. At the end, I'm going to have the ushers in the back, and we're going to take up an offering on your way out. Whatever you have to give to Melissa and her two children to help, I want you to be able to give something to sow into them so we can help them through this process. And so we'll be taking an offering in the back as you leave. Let's pray. Father of glory, you said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom and liberty. And we know, God, that you want to transform us, renew us, and help us in the midst of this time. Your word says not to lose heart, that we would receive the mercy. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have this ministry that's within us, this Holy Spirit, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Lord, we pray for Melissa and the entire family. We pray for all those that are struggling in this day, that your presence would come. That no matter what comes our way, that we trust you. That we don't listen to the lies of the craftiness of the enemy. That there is a treasure in each and every one of us. An excellence. So even when we're hard pressed on every side, we're not crushed. Even when we're perplexed and hurting, you bring us out of despair. Even though people will persecute us and we feel forsaken by people that we thought would go the distance, you're there, Lord. You're there. And God, even when we feel that we're struck down, You say we're not destroyed. And there's hope. So we just open the altar. Stay in a place of prayer for a few moments. You'd never like to come down to be prayed for, ministered to, loved on. Just let the singers sing for a moment. Have your way, Holy Spirit. If today is a day for the reign of God to rain on you and to stand up and go further than you've ever went before with Him, come forward and be prayed for. Yes, God.
Holy Spirit of the Lord is.
Thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your word, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and chapter 5, how it is life to us and hope. Holy Spirit, rain down on those that have come and bless the offering as people would exit to help Melissa and her family. Holy Spirit, just have your way to speak to her. Reveal your heart, Jesus. I thank you, God, for your healing mercies and grace that come in the midst of loss. We love you. We trust you. Make us vessels that reflect who you are. Every day, we pray for every church and every ministry in this whole region. And pray for a great outpouring, awakening. And for the body of Christ to grow in the place of maturity, of dying to themselves and coming alive to your purposes. So help us to deny ourselves and pick up our cross. Deny every fleshy thing and run after you. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. God bless you. Go in peace. And again, they'll take an offering as you leave. And if you have loved ones up here, just we're going to stay in a place of prayer for a few more moments. You'll feel led to come up. We can come up and we can pray for you. God bless you. Go in peace. We'll see you Tuesday night at the meeting place, the prophetic night. If you need healing, come forward.
Jesus reigns.
Jesus reigns.
Greet someone on the way out.
Shower,
yes, Lord.
Showers of mercy and grace. Pouring on
them. We pray, God, for the family of God.
There is freedom.
Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. If you feel led just to pray for someone, to minister to someone right now, just go ahead and do that.
Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain.
Let it rain.
Let it rain.
Let it rain.
Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates. the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear. We feel the rain of your love. We feel the wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear. We feel the rain of your love. We feel the wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear. We feel the rain of your love. We feel the wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven.
We feel
the rain of your love. Feel the wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear.
Sing it again.
We feel the rain of your love. Feel the wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear.
So let it rain. Let it rain.
Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven.
We feel
the rain of your love. We feel the wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven. We feel the rain of your love. We feel the wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear.
We
feel the rain of your love. We feel the wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear.
Sing it one more time, we feel.
We feel the rain of your love. We feel the wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat.